Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live show for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joined as always, Josh Hart. What's going on, Josh? How are you on this lovely Friday in Toronto?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's finally seems like we're getting a couple good days of consistently nice weather. I feel like this July, really regional content already off the top of the show.
I was going to say, people love when we start shows talking about weather.
I'm looking forward to being able to go outside today for the first time in, it feels like, 2 weeks, because every day it's rained since, like, the end of June. It's been pretty brutal. But that's probably the thing that I'm most looking forward to. How are you?
I am doing okay, actually, even though we are very much on the fly right here. Listen, we miss producer Steph, all right? This is our first show since. And, you know, Steph is a very big help in these fronts. No, I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. You know, what am I doing right now? So I'm doing a lot of preparation for the Olympics. I'm going to cover the women's basketball team, unlike the men's, who are perpetually disappointing. The women are consistently at the Olympics, you know, a threat to medal. Although I saw a power rankings today that had the Canadian women's team at ninth. I was like, ninth? All right, I didn't see that happening, to be honest. I thought they're one of the most well-rounded teams in that tournament, but who knows? We'll see. You know, they have done quite well in recent competitions, so I'm not worried. Like, they beat Belgium quite easily to qualify for the Olympics, and Belgium's ranked ahead of them, and I was like, all right, I don't really know if that's the case. Been doing women's soccer coverage, also the Olympics. So very excited to wake up.
That game with Japan, that was
tough.
I mean, all credit to Japan, but you'd almost got out of there. But
yeah, how would I describe it for people who didn't wake up at 7 a.m. to watch that? It was like if you watched the Euro final. You know how England scored like immediately, and it was great, and it looked like, you know, they were just going to ride it out. Instead, they played really defensive for a long portion of that game. Late in the game, Japan equalizes. You know, this wasn't a final, so there were no shootouts or anything like that. But a disappointing result for the women's soccer team, who have captured bronze 2 years or two Olympics in a row. So that's all good, but we are here to talk about the Raptors. And so this show, we're not going to have Twitter questions. We're not going to have caller questions, but we're going to take Twitter questions, and we're going to take questions from the chat. So continue to speak in the chat or just respond on Twitter. Let's start with the hottest rumor right now, which is, do you see Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan teaming up to go somewhere together? Rumor saying the Lakers. This is from Dobson Kanu. Salute a legend, I guess, Robson Kanu. But
do they have a way to do that? Like, yeah, you like Kuzma, KCP, THT all have to get dumped. Some of those salaries come back to Toronto on a sign and trade, and they sign DeMar DeRozan as a free agent.
Yep.
And their best 3-point shooter on that team is Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, so there's a lot of questions with this. So I think this was actually floated out there before by Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo. I think this time it's from one of the local Lakers beat reporters. I think Brad Turner. But anyway, so yeah, the Lakers right now have $110 million in guaranteed salary. This is assuming that Montrezl Harrell opts out. I think they're probably going to need Montrezl Harrell to opt in, actually, to probably move some of the money around. But like, they're already at the salary cap, so they're basically going to need to sign and trade for both guys, which is going to be tough. Like, let's say Kyle wants 25 and DeMar wants, I don't know, even 20 in this case. Yeah, they would need to... I don't even know how they would do this, to be honest. I guess you could sign and trade Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell to somewhere. You know, that probably gets you to close-ish to DeMar's number. Then you got to package KCP to the Raptors. That doesn't fully make sense to me. Either way, one of the two guys is taking a severe discount in terms of how much money they're going to be slated to receive, which, to be honest, I don't see either of those two guys taking discounts.
Me neither.
And
well, it depends on how much DeMar wants to play in Los Angeles. I do think that that may be a factor, but not certainly not with Kyle Lowry. I don't think that he's relishing the idea of not having his family in either Philly or Vegas and having to do... I mean, he's going to go where an opportunity is, but it's not like he's going to take a discount to make his life messier.
Yeah, this one doesn't make a lot of sense. I just think it's like, it's cool to think about in theory. DeMar and Kyle.
It would be very heartwarming. It would be...
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be extremely... And we just saw the Kind Vibes Champions win a couple days ago. So this would be another very Kind Vibes. We're all recovering from the pandemic that saw lots of loss and lots of, you know, not being able to hang out with our friends. And seeing two of the most famous NBA friends being able to hang out again would be pretty delightful. But that's kind of as far as I think this rumor makes any sense, is that it would be nice if they got to team up and contend for a championship with one another.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the Mavericks make more sense?
The Mavericks make more sense to me. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, I think, much more movable contracts to sign and trade, and they also have more cap room, just period, especially if they want to move on from Tim Hardaway Jr. So that makes sense. Honestly, if DeMar and Kyle want to team up again, that'd be honestly a very, very cool story. Obviously great friends, and honestly a backcourt that works really well.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard to envision teams out there that have like zero backcourt, because those guys are going to both want to start, right? So you're going to look at teams that have like no backcourt at all, which, I mean, New Orleans, I guess, is one of those teams, right? Especially considering I don't think people really like Eric Bledsoe. It seems like Lonzo's moving on, so they don't really have a backcourt. That could be a possibility. The Lakers is a possibility, just because the Lakers guards are all terrible. But yeah, I think with the Lakers specific, I think they just don't have enough money for this, you know? Yeah. So that's tough.
Also, it would be fun to see Kyle Lowry in the Pacific, in like in California, because him versus Steph Curry has been consistently like incredibly entertaining for the last 5-6 years. And I hope that that would continue.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'd be cool, though. I think the least LeBron can do for DeMar is win him a chip. Like, he owes him one, at least.
Do you
like,
think LeBron will give him $100 if LeBron James,
That's the signing bonus. That's the signing bonus for joining the Lakers, is you get $100. It's like, you actually have to put this back in your own pocket. Okay, next question from Twitter as well. This is from 40 and Dunking. Question mark. If Lowry signs with another team, does keeping Gary Trent Jr. get even more expensive? What do you think, Josh? Does it get more expensive?
No, I think that like you would look at Gary Trent not as a nice to have, but if Kyle Lowry leaves, you have to then sort of go into this we have to build from the middle mode, where you are nowhere near contending, and without a guy like Kyle, you know, changes a lot of things. So you'd look at Gary's like, we have to be realistic. We can't overpay to keep you, because you cannot be the millstone around our neck keeping us from contending. So I think Kyle leaving like hurts a guy like Gary Trent, because maybe this team thinks that you need to retain your free agents if you want to build a, you know, competent team around Kyle Lowry.
Interesting.
But if you have a guy like, if Kyle leaves, it's like, Gary, I mean, no offense, but like, why are we going to potentially threaten our future flexibility to retain you if we are now building from the bottom of the Atlantic Division?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably where you and I disagree, I think. I think you still need to have guards that play. Oh. I mean, like, maybe, okay, look, I would say probably the one thing affecting Gary Trent Jr.'s free agency is probably who the Raptors draft with the with their pick. Like, if it's Suggs or if it's Jalen Green, which I doubt it's Jalen Green, but, like, just because I don't think it'll be available. But
imagine.
Yeah, it would be very cool. It would be very cool. Then, yeah, I mean, then you would see probably a chance where, you know, you maybe want to go with those guys. But realistically, either of those two guys, as much as we're hyping them now, like, I think Gary is going to outproduce them in terms of scoring, especially in terms of shooting. I think he's – Jalen Green's a good shooter, although in more of a limited sample in the G League. They played really not a large number of games. But, you know, Suggs is not the type of shooter right now that would factor in – it's like a high volume 3-point shooter, which is what you need from that 2-guard position. And yeah, I think you probably keep Gary regardless. And especially because if you can keep Gary at a good number, you can move him again. So
yeah, like, but it means keeping Gary at a good number. I don't think Gary's price goes up if Kyle leaves.
Yeah.
I think Gary's number might go up if Kyle stays. If it's now, you know, we really need to keep this guy here because Kyle Lowry wants a competent backup shooting guard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That I think, yeah, I think Kyle helps him more than he hurts him. I don't think if Kyle leaves, it's we got to make sure Gary's happy.
No, that's fair. That's fair. All right, we got questions. You know what? Let's take a question from the YouTube chat because we haven't actually done that yet, and I don't want to ignore the YouTube commenters whatsoever. Okay, so someone said, "Can you talk about the Lakers DeRozan rumor?" Yeah, I just think that it wasn't really going to work out. Okay, what this from Henry Wu. What's the biggest difference between Rashawn Holmes and Ken Birch?
Ontario Secondary School graduate.
Come on, man. There's tangible differences. I think Holmes is more of a has more of a scoring skill set. And what I mean by that is not like he shoots more or not has more range or anything like that. But he has a floater, which we actually saw from Gary from Ken Birch as well. I think we've definitely seen him expand his skill set when he was with the Raptors the last, like, 20 games or so. But I think Rashawn Holmes has more of a scoring skill set and the little short floaters, a little bit more physicality to play in the paint a little bit. Like, when you get him on a deep catch, he can maybe make one or two moves and then go up for the score. Where it's not like Ken Birch is robotic, necessarily, but he just doesn't have that same sort of, like, I guess, bulk. It's not like either player is that big either, but I think Rashawn has just enough strength to, like, push a guy out of the way a little bit, whereas I feel like with Ken Birch, he's skinnier down low, so he doesn't move people in the same way. I'm not trying to describe Rashawn Holmes as a Shaq or anything like that. I think defensively, I think Ken Birch is better. He was really good in Orlando as a reserve playing defense. And I honestly, with the time with the Raptors, I thought he was perfectly fine. Maybe the rebounding is not as, like, elite as you would expect. You're not going to expect Ken Birch to give you, like, I don't know, 10, 12 rebounds a game and, you know, collect 30% of defensive rebounds available. But I don't think you expect that out of Holmes either. So what I'm trying to say is I don't think the difference is that big in terms of the two players, especially to the point where I want to pay potentially twice as much for one guy over the other, which I don't even think is potentially. I think it's just true. I think Holmes is going to cost quite a bit considering he seems to be the hottest name on the market. Also, I have some concerns. The Kings played really, really fast. They played zero defense. I mean, you saw one of the two Raptors games they played against the Kings. Both games were, like, I think over-under, maybe 200 points in terms of total points. 250 points. Like, it's just not a lot of defense. And, you know, I also wonder how hard teams played against the Kings in general. So, that could inflate the numbers just a little bit. So, that's kind of what I see as a difference. If it was up to me, I would much rather take Ken Birch.
I think you're underrating the difference that an Ontario Secondary School diploma makes. Like, okay, that guy is going to be a ferocious.
You're saying, you know, you're paying for that. You're paying the honor roll tax.
No, you're paying to, you know, having. Yeah, it's an elite part of his background. How many? Look at you and me. We're both Ontario Secondary School graduates, and, you know, we're talking about basketball to a couple hundred people on a Friday afternoon. We're built different.
Yeah. This is yeah. What else, man? Oh, give me also from Henry, give me your best Ken Burch contract as well. I think 2 years 2 years 18? Maybe that, is that too much, you think?
No, I think that's I kind of like that. I like that because
maybe second year is a team option or something like that. Although he probably wants more security. Yeah, 2 years.
He's 18. What, 28 now?
Yep.
Yeah, 2 years. I think 2 years, something around 20. I think
you look I wouldn't at go 20. 20 is just seems kind of high, man.
2 years. So 2 years.
I think 2 years 18 is probably the max.
3 years now. He's making $3 million now.
I think he was making five. Okay, let me just pull up the contracts. This is weird to speculate about. Yeah, so he was making... Yeah, you're right. $3 million. Wow, okay. Maybe nine is too much. Oh,
so yeah, maybe not. Yeah, maybe nine's a lot.
Mm. What about
Chris makes 3 years 15? 6 next year or something?
Chris Boucher makes 8.
Yeah.
But it's non-guaranteed. But he's gonna he's played well enough to get
the deal. Yeah. He's gonna get it. I mean, I think he will be back with the Raptors. He will be on a movable / team friendly / appropriate deal. Mm. And I think it'll be, I don't mind the idea of giving him term. I don't think that he's going to necessarily fall off a cliff.
Okay.
So if it's like 3 years, 3 years 18, like that seems pretty good. 3 years 20 even seems fun. Like if,
yeah, I think especially if you give the third year, either I guess a team option would be ideal.
Always.
3 years, somewhere between 15 to even 20 is fine with me. I think it's very similar to like the deals that the Raptors used to give like Amir Johnson or Patrick Patterson, for example, which is kind of like the level of player that I'm kind of expecting from Ken Burch. Like a healthy Patrick Patterson, not the one we slander all the time. So.
Is his deal up in... He's an unrestricted free agent this year and he's 32.
Who? Patrick Patterson?
Patrick Patterson.
I mean, listen, man, theaters are back open again, so he's going to have, the free time is going to be taken up. I mean, he's not going to be in the NBA next year, but he will be at a Cineplex near you. So, yeah. You know what? It's actually such a shame because I really used to really like Patrick Patterson. He
should have won Sixth Man of the Year in like 2013, 12, 14, maybe. It's not just the Galaxy brain take, but I thought I really liked that one. Was it 2015, 14?
He was
one season. Yeah, he was good for a couple years.
He was good for like until he got the knee injury in 2017 ish. But yeah, there was that 1 year where Pascal was starting. What's his name? Gerald Sullinger was hurt, and then it was like, start Patrick Patterson. Like, every single game I was writing that. And then they just kept resisting to do it, and then he got hurt, and then when he came back, he was never the same. And they also got Serge and P.J. Tucker, so. Congrats to P.J. Tucker, by the way. What did you think of his parade performance?
I was thinking yesterday, throughout the parade, like, what's the drunkest I've ever seen my dad? Because, you know, all these guys have their kids there, but they're also, have been drinking champagne nonstop for 2 days at this point. I just can't imagine. Like, I've never seen Clifton from Etobicoke nearly as drunk as I saw PJ Tucker hanging out with his kids. But
that's probably a good thing, all things considered, man.
Well, my dad has never won an NBA championship.
So. Yeah, you know what? That's fair.
It's probably a fun memory. But it was cool. It's cool that he got to beat every other starter on the Rockets team.
What?
That's... Ariza in the first round.
Yep.
Wait, but Eric Gordon. Was Eric Gordon?
No, Ariza, he's six, man.
Oh, yeah. So he beat Ariza. He beat Capella, Chris Paul, obviously.
Harden.
James Harden in the
Eastern
Conference semis.
Good for PJ Tucker. I still maintain that PJ at this point is more of a prop for all star players to score against than a super effective defender, because he used to be really great. I mean, we saw him with the Raptors. I loved him with the Raptors, too. But, no, I mean, he's just, look, he worked his behind off. Like, he was a 6'4" power forward when he first came to the Raptors in, like, I mean, first off, that was, like, the Raptors' best second-round pick ever, even though he only played, like, like maybe 15 games, and then he went overseas and like had to grind his way up through like random places, and then he came all the way back to Phoenix, and now he beat Phoenix for the chip. So good for him, man. And look, listen, everybody needs like a defensive stopper who is not going to give you too much offense, but you're not going to have to worry about him too much. I mean, he kind of had like a Marcus Gasol type of trajectory, you know what I mean? In terms of like, obviously Marcus is a much better player than PJ Tucker, don't get me wrong. But like, you know, acquired at the trade deadline for a specific matchup, right? I think in this case, they specifically got him to face against Brooklyn to guard KD in particular. Didn't really work. KD still got 50, but, you know, KD had to work really hard for that 50. But, you know, doesn't really do much scoring, but ends up being a very no-nonsense kind of guy. You can plug into the lineup. You can bench him if you need to, whatever, no complaints, and then turns up at the parade. Like, he basically was their Marc Gasol, so.
Yeah, I wonder what is PJ Tucker's next move. This is my bigger question for like the Bucks. It's like, what do they do next? Because they like Giannis became the like he expanded his capability to fill a shocking amount of need that that team had. You know, like he just did everything in the last three games of that series. In a way that, like, I can't, like, God bless me if he's able to do it again. But, like, that's, like, a really, it was really, like, incredible to watch happen. So I kind of wonder what the Bucks do to make it easier to repeat than it was to win their first championship. I mean, it's obviously very hard to repeat, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying.
I feel like the Bucks also kind of have fired other bullets. You know, they traded all their picks for Jrue Holiday. It worked out. They re-signed Jrue Holiday. They have Chris Middleton signed. They have Giannis signed. That's the team that they have. You know, so it's going to be hard to continue to add to it. And then I also think that the other teams in the East might make some moves. Like, I'm really curious to see what Philly comes back with next year, because it's not going to be Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris. It's going to be a different combination, especially with how... like, Daryl Morey loves to, like, tinker and trade. He moves guys all the time, right? So that team's going to be different. Obviously, Simmons is on the trade market. We'll see what he brings back. I think Brooklyn's going to be very different this playoffs just because we'll see everyone healthy. That's a scary team. That's still my favorite to come out of the East. But, I mean, as you asked me, like, can Milwaukee do it again? I'm like, honestly, like, yeah. Because I do think that there was another level that the Raptors went to after they won the championship. Like, and that just gave everyone so much confidence to do what they do and play the games that they play. So... I'm curious to see if that happens. Like, I thought Giannis took his game to another level in Game 6, for example. Or just in the NBA Finals, period. And part of that was matchups. But part of that was also just like, yo, I know what my game is. I know what my role is. I know that late in the game, I'm probably going to have to screen for Chris Middleton. I know that, you know, how to manage my energy, how to pace myself. Like, there's a lot that you take from a playoffs run, especially if you can win the whole thing. We saw it with the Raptors in 1920. And, you know, I'm not counting out that as something that happens for the Bucks. So, and if that happens, then it'd be great, because I think the Eastern Conference at least needs somebody to stand up to Brooklyn. Like, I don't want to just see Brooklyn, like, sweep everybody the way LeBron did. Like, I don't like when a conference is completely dominated in that sense. So,
You don't think there's, like, East Coast Dame that we all get to, you know, watch at 7:30, which is my, you know, dream? To see Dame in Orlando at 7:30 would just
Dame in Orlando,
not playing for the Magic, but like playing for another team, and he just like he has like getting to watch Dame right after dinner is just
yeah, you're right. But,
I hate staying up until 10:30 to start games. It's
awful. Yeah, I do think that like that does give certain players a platform. Because only diehard fans are staying up on the East Coast at 10:30, or unless you're like maybe betting on the game or something, but like. And Portland was always on, like always on. I saw more of Norm after he left the Raptors than I did before, man. They're just Portland is just like the go-to, just like the Warriors used to be the go-to before they became like the marquee team. So, this one's really good. I like this question from Corey. This is on Twitter. With the NBA just or the NHL just having an expansion draft, if the NBA were to do one, which players on the Raptors would you protect, and who would you leave unprotected? So. I'm not totally sure what the rules were in the NHL in terms of how many guys you can protect and how many guys you couldn't protect. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you could protect five guys on the Raptors. No, three guys on the Raptors. And anyone three else guys. Is free to so be drafted.
Three makes it very easy.
Okay.
Like, we have to, I think, like, if it's three, it's Fred, Pascal, OG.
I definitely agree you protect OG. But look, let's say you have the fourth pick on the roster as well. Like, you've taken that fourth pick.
Oh, okay. Is it future defensive player of the year, Evan Mobley?
Yeah. Are you who are you going to not protect between the fourth pick, who you're saying is going to be Mobley, between Mobley, Fred, Pascal, and OG?
It's Fred, but come on.
You're leaving Fred unprotected. Wow.
Yeah. Fred's very good, and I really like him. Mm-hmm. But his production is there's, you know, it's not, it's closer to commodity, sounds like horrible, but they're, you know, you can put together the Fred VanVleet production a bit easier than you can replace a guy like Pascal, because he's so uniquely skilled. But this sucks. Three made it easy, and if we add, yeah, future defensive player of the year, Evan Mobley, I guess. Who do you pick? Is it OG or Pascal?
I'm gonna protect the three guys I can get the most back for in trades. So I think So I think I'm still in agreement with you. Unfortunately, Fred's gonna be left unprotected, and I mean that's unfortunate. But I do think that, like, first off, this would be a great idea. An expansion draft would be really cool. We haven't seen one in the NBA, I think, since the Raptors joined, right? In 94, 95-ish range. Yeah. I don't know. I was in China. So.
Yeah.
I think they came in the same time as Orlando?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. Okay, all right. Well, in any case, those teams joining, you know, that was just a cool idea. But, I mean, the key difference, I think, between the NHL like expansion draft and an NBA expansion draft is just, like, the NBA roster is only, like, 15 players, right? So you're not going to be taking one player from every team. So certain teams, you could protect guys, but guys might not even go. And then that would just create an awkward situation where certain guys were visibly prioritized over other guys in an NBA setting. Like, for example, I could see a player being upset that their team didn't protect them, and that could lead to more drama down the line, which is awkward from a team building standpoint, but it's also very entertaining from, like, a entertainment standpoint. So
looking at the real expansion draft rules, where you're able to protect eight guys, I'm going to ask you who you, assuming they bring everybody back, no Paul Watson and the fourth pick, who do you let go? So you're looking at, like,
eight guys.
You're looking at, like, Yuta, DeAndre, like, Bembry seems like too easy an answer. Yeah, it's a little still too easy, because you have, like, you can put Stan, like, SJ, Yuta, DeAndre Bembry.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be rude, but if I can protect eight guys on the Raptors, I would protect six, and then they can have whoever else. I'm sorry, man. I like Yuta, I like Malachi, I like all these other guys. If they had to take them, well, I mean, that's tough, but enjoy Freddie Gillespie's dancing. In Seattle or whatever. So, okay, let's talk about from the YouTube chat. This one from Mr. Bro. What do you think about the Raptors not settling on Suggs? So, I'm not sure exactly how much information is accurate, but you're seeing reports that the Raptors, not reports. We know that the Raptors worked out Scotty Barnes. We know that they're maybe interested in Scotty Barnes at the fourth pick. We know, that, you know, the Raptors have been linked to moving up to a three, for example. And we also know that maybe Suggs is not necessarily the pick for the Raptors at four. These are all the reports. To me, I really take everything about the draft with a huge grain of salt, because there's a lot of incentive to throw out smoke, even more than usual. I think NBA front offices are trying to dupe each other all the time anyway. The Raptors don't generally play the media game that much. We're not like, you know, Daryl Morey or Danny Ainge or those guys that always in their trade market and always putting rumors out and almost getting guys. The Raptors are not like that. But at the same time, like, I do think that there's probably a lot of smoke. I think the one thing that does make me feel confident about Suggs to the Raptors is the fact that he hasn't been linked. It's not like the Raptors are like, that's our guy, right? Because I feel like you would probably want to throw everyone off the scent. So, in a weird way, the guy that draws the least attention is probably the guy they want the most. So, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think that the problem with that draft coverage, it's all agents trying to build buzz around their guy.
Exactly.
And the Raptors organization has demonstrated that they're pretty good at not, you know, leaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So do I think that all of the are they going to add assets to pick number 4 to trade up to get a guy like Mobley? Maybe. That would make sense. If you believe that he could be a Hall of Famer, which I do think is possible with his upside. Like, I think this guy can win Defensive Player of the Year a couple times in his career. It would not blow me away. So if you believe that, add something to pick 4 to go get him. If you believe that Scotty Barnes, Kuminga, Jalen Suggs can be a good fit in this organization and deliver sort of immediate returns, all of those guys, I think, to some extent or another, make sense in this organization. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that anyone reporting knows what the organization is doing, but they all make sense. And I think that that's why it was exciting to get pick number 4, is because you have options. And these are the 4 options. You trade up to go get Green or Mobley if you or your pick after Cade, because I don't think that you're getting the number 1 pick from Detroit.
No.
You take one of the 3 guys who fall between picks 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Or you and those are really the 2 options. And I think each of them makes sense. Like, Scotty Barnes played on the best high school basketball team ever assembled. It would be cool for him to become a Raptor. And Kuminga, you know, I see it. He's probably the guy that I have on the outside of outside looking in, but
he's got talent. He's got talent. Like, when you watch it's the numbers are going to look terrible. I think his G League numbers, he shot like 35% or whatever. Didn't shoot the 3 well either. But when you watch the tape, he's one of those guys where you watch the tape and you're like, yo, that's very impressive that he made that move. It's very impressive that he's so strong that he made that move, took a bump, was still able to finish through the contact. The fact that he was able to be so quick and a quick leaper as well, like to finish around the basket. Like, there's things to like about him. Like, I think there's a reason why he's highly touted and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I mean, what do you think of the idea that, okay, if the Raptors want to draft Scotty Barnes, for example, and they have the 4th pick, why not try to talk to Orlando and be like, yo, give me a future pick?
Yeah, I agree. I think Orlando makes sense because
we'll take Suggs, take Barnes, we'll do a swap, we'll give you some money. Like, that's what the Raptors did with Vince Carter and Anton Jameson way back in the day in 98. Yeah, so,
yeah.
Again, I was not here.
You weren't here yet?
No.
98?
No.
When did you come to Canada?
I came 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
So I met you less than a decade. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. So, someone said Samuel Fernando in the YouTube chat says, "Isn't Mobley just Boucher?"
No.
Okay. What's the difference you see there?
I think that he's coming in with different skills on offense. I think that he is already a to me, and I have watched only the coverage that I don't make draft coverage, but he looks to me like already a guy who will figure out his role on defense in ways that Chris Boucher has like struggled with some of the focus. Mm-hmm. I think that Mobley will be able to play his way to maybe even starting on the Raptors because of his attention to details and ability to execute the Raptors' defensive scheme. And I think that he can guard centers in a way that Chris Boucher hasn't proved that he can yet.
Okay.
And he can score on centers, which Chris Boucher should be a power forward. Evan Mobley will be a very good center. That's the difference.
Well, I think that the worry right now is that they have similar body types at the moment. Now, I still think that Chris Boucher is skinnier than Evan Mobley. But not so much more that it's going to be a tangible difference. Like, for example, a lot of the draft experts, plus if you just watch the videos, like, he is very slim. He's not that physical of a player. It makes more sense for him to play 4 right now. But I think the challenge for some of these guys is, can you guard 5s? Which right now, I don't fully feel confident that Mobley can guard 5s as a rookie. Which is not saying he can't guard 5s in the future. I think he definitely can guard 5s in the future. But as a rookie, he's just a little bit too small for that. And then B, like, can his offense be good enough to play four? Because four is now a very skilled position offensively, especially because you're competing against a lot of wings. You're going to need to shoot. You're going to need to put the ball on the floor a little bit. You're going to have the big game as well. I don't think Mobley has all those skill sets just yet. So you would ideally like him to play the five offensively. I think, honestly, like, if you're going to ask me next season, who's going to be more productive between Chris Boucher and Evan Mobley, I think it's probably still going to be Boucher.
Sure. Yeah. That's fine.
And so, you know, I think that's where the concern is. But the hope is that he fills out physically. And once he does that and some of his skills start to mature and develop, then, yeah, I mean, the difference is Boucher is 28 years old. And Mobley is like a decade younger than him. So there's a lot of time to catch up to where he is right now. If he's going to start with this current floor and move up, like... I don't think there'll be a huge debate as to who's going to be better long term. It's just that I can see the comparison now is what I'm trying to say.
He has a face up game at 18. He can run the floor okay. Like, he's going to be good.
Yeah, but Boucher runs the floor just fine. He's fast.
Yes. And
Boucher has a face up game too. Don't you see the little pull up jumpers he's hitting late in the season?
Yeah. I think Mobley is coming in a great spot. And if the worry is, can an elite training staff get him to fill out? I will give – that's like – I don't know. Sports science is pretty good. It seems like they figured a lot of this stuff out. I don't think that he's hopeless. And if the number one worry with him is being able to catch up physically, like I don't know.
Someone said Evan Mobley has high hips. It will be hard for him to gain weight, sadly. Is that true? Is that a thing?
Is this person a kinesiologist?
I don't know. They're someone on YouTube. They could be anybody, but yeah. I don't know. I have shorter legs for someone who's 6 feet, so I can't even say that. So, who knows?
But you're an elite athlete. I thought, you know, we went one for one on a doubleheader on Wednesday.
Yep. 2-1 win, 3-2 loss.
The screwdriver sport update?
It doesn't matter. We're talking about it anyway. Yeah, so a great doubleheader. I'm still a little bit sore, even though it's Friday and we played Wednesday. Oh, man. Yes. I'm not even 30.
Yeah, it's cold world. But, yeah, it was a pretty good game. Like, we had John's great goal off the rebound was terrific.
Yep.
And then Mickey should have just gone, like, bowled the goalie over.
Yeah.
You know. But it was a good time. I'll see you. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Let's do it again. I'll probably be sore by next Wednesday as well. I've been stretching every day. It's really honestly, it's age sucks. I guess we're still talking more about the draft. So Bell Tolls Inc. says, what's your ideal draft night scenario?
Ideal draft night scenario. Cade falls to 4. I don't know.
Okay, no. Realistic ideal draft scenario.
The Cleveland Cavaliers... Do you like the Cleveland Cavaliers? Do they would they like they trade Sexton, take Suggs, or they can trade Sexton? But they take Jalen Suggs. Trade Sexton. I want Evan Mobley.
They could trade him, he's under contract.
Is he?
Yeah,
so
he's still on his rookie scale deal.
Would they trade him and get the rest of a for like Orlando's, but Orlando doesn't really need a point guard. I don't know. It's just, yeah, somehow Evan Mobley ends up a Raptor.
Okay.
And we move from there because I'm ready to watch a guy block everything for the next 15 years in Toronto while I, you know, sit on my couch and go to games on occasion. Yeah, that is to say, like, I do really like Suggs.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was, while it, you know, I'd still think that that's pretty likely. You're asking about, you know, pipe dreams, and I think that Mobley can be a Hall of Famer.
Word.
What's your dream scenario on draft night?
My dream scenario is very realistic. I just think the Raptors take Jalen Suggs, number 4. They have another guard in place to develop for the future. Maybe they work on some sign and trades using their current expiring contracts and get something else. But for the most part, just doing that and then, yeah, taking 2 more prospects. I haven't done enough research in the draft to really know who is a good idea at 46 and 47 or whatever. But I would really like for them to take 2 bigs and just, like, take athletic bigs in that range, maybe guys who have 1 or 2 years of experience already in the college level, and then just like try to develop those guys in the G League and see one of those hits. You know what I mean? Like try to find another Boucher.
Yeah.
Because
I guess my dream now is Suggs gets picked. The Raptors pick up Suggs. Evan Mobley goes to the Cavaliers. And then like an hour after the draft, Jared Allen tweets like, I don't want to be here. Or like, oh, wow. You know, he just tweets something like indicating that he's, you know, furious that the Cleveland Cavaliers would pick up a center, and him, Kevin Love, and a rookie would have to figure out the front court rotation. What's his name? Larry Nance Jr. Is Larry Nance, are they going to renounce him this offseason?
No, he's under contract, I think, for a few more years. They signed him a year ago, I think. So Larry Nance Jr. is signed this year and this following season, like 10.6 and then 9.7 next season. Larry Nance is nice.
So they got Jared Allen has to tweet, I don't want to be here on draft night.
Bro, he's in Cleveland. He doesn't even have to say that, man. I just assume everyone in Cleveland, except for Larry Nance, who like his dad is a legend there. Except for Larry Nance, I just assume everyone in Cleveland doesn't want to be there.
So if the Mount Rushmore for Cleveland Cavaliers, Larry Nance Sr., LeBron.
What do you mean? It's LeBron first. Oh, I guess
Zoe and
Mark Price. Is that a guy?
How
close I don't know. I was in China. I don't know these guys. Was it Yao Ming? No. So it wasn't Yao Ming or T Mac. So I didn't hear about them. So
yeah.
What else is going on here? From Twitter, Anna asks, odds of the Raptors signing Norm Powell in free agency? It's a hard zero.
Yeah.
It's a hard zero.
It'd be fun if he took a meeting. That would be cute, don't you think?
For what? Just for the vibes? Just for another dinner in Tampa Bay? Which, by the way, this sucks that the fact that the Raptors are still in limbo right now, heading into free agency and the draft. Like, for example, in the draft, right? They usually invite players to come work out. They work out the player, and then they take out the prospect to like get a fancy dinner, talk to the executives, get to know people, get to know Nick Nurse, get to know the front office, all of that. It's a sort of a one and done situation with all these guys, regardless of whether they get picked or not. It's good to just leave that good first impression with these guys, right? Because a lot of these guys can be in the league long term. They could end up with the Raptors future, you know, in future years, even if they don't draft them this year. They have to do all that wining and dining in Tampa instead of in Toronto. Like, it's just very different, right? You can't walk them through OVO and just be like, oh, this is great. They're going to have to show them a video of OVO. Like, it's just not the same. I don't know, man. I wish they were home. Like,
they can't go to Lebanon. They just have to, you know, tell them to imagine it.
If you had to if you were Bobby Webster and you had to wine and dine a prospect, let's say you're wining dining Evan Mobley in Toronto. Basically, you're taking these players out on dates. Like, where would you take Evan Mobley on a date?
Where would I take Evan Mobley? I mean, isn't that the whole point of the Stanley Suggestions bit on the show? But I don't know. Probably don't all these guys love Yorkville?
Yeah, it's
down the street from me. We can go to, what's that place on just south of Davenport on Avenue? I don't remember off the top of my head.
La Carnita or whatever?
La Carnita, no.
Please don't do
that. Yeah, I think you would just take these guys to Yorkville. That's where they all seem to hang out when they're in town anyways.
Yeah, fair enough. You're not taking the No King West vibes? If the player wants to go to King West, that's when you're not drafting that player.
You cannot draft
that's a hard flag. So it's like as red as possible on that flag.
Yeah, that's a really...
Hey, do you want to go to Lavelle? And they're like, you know what? On a second thought, we're actually going to go with another player in the draft.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like if they just want to go to Soto, you just, you know, that's.
They probably do, though. Honestly, I think Drake put so much hype into that restaurant that they're probably just going to want to go there.
Or Sophia? Like, all these places on Yorkville Ave.
Yeah.
Just take him to Yorkville Ave, tell him that this is where we thought we could take Kawhi and it would work. And if you like it, you can stay.
Didn't they take him to that hotel near there, too? Is that where they did the meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is where it seemed like Kawhi was staying.
Oh. No Cactus Club for these guys?
Cactus Club is once you are an NBA vet. Mm. But then it's a lot of Cactus Club once you're an NBA vet.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you think that, like,
Jamal... No EFS for these boys? No Thompson Hotel.
Yeah, just could you imagine seeing like Shai Gilgeous Alexander eating at like Future Bistro on
I doubt he'd be doing that because I'll be right there to harass him and tell him to come to the Raptors. Didn't he like he celebrated his birthday in Toronto, didn't he?
Yeah, there are a bunch of pictures of him all over the city. It's pretty good.
No, we know he's gonna come home eventually. I just hope these guys don't come home like when they're like 35. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want them now. Like, Kelly Olynyk, take a meeting with the Raptors now. Join the Raptors as the Raptors, one of their third string bigs. I don't care. We'll have the all-Canadian front court of Boucher, Ken Birch, and Kelly Olynyk. I think that'd be fine.
I don't want none of them play Team Canada Bowl.
Well, no, that's where Nick Nurse would do the recruiting as well. He's got to recruit his own players on his own team, and they're going to say no to their own coach. Like Boucher did twice. And I guess Ken Burst did this year. Wow, this is a...
But Ken, what was Chris Boucher just didn't want... What was going on with Chris? Did he have an injury? I don't think so.
He had an injury towards the end of the season. I don't exactly know how serious those were. Because, like, we saw Pascal have an injury at the end of the season. And then we just assumed that, oh, the Raptors are tanking. But then Pascal was out for, like, 5 months. So, yeah. You don't fully know. I mean, I don't blame any of these guys. His contract's not guaranteed. I wouldn't play either. There's no way. I'm not risking $7 million of guaranteed money. There's no way.
Yeah.
I love Canada, but like not like that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah. Let's take another question from Twitter. So, yeah. So, that's a no to Norm Powell. I mean, look, they traded him because they didn't want to pay him his contract in free agency. So, someone asks, Gary Trent Jr. is $17 million or Norm Powell at $20 million a year?
Happy belated birthday, Norm.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Norm. Happy birthday, Norm. So, yeah. Gary Trent at 17 or Norm Powell at 20. First off, I think Norm's going to get more than 20. I think it's going to be like 22. And I think Gary's going to get less 22? Than 17. Yeah. Listen, man. The free agency market is... Everyone thinks that they have a chance to go for it. And Norm's one of the best cards on the market. So, yeah.
And he's like, and I guess it's, young and healthy. Everybody thinks because they didn't see a quote-unquote face of the league in the finals that they need to load up.
Yeah. Norm Powell is American. He's from California.
Norm Powell's Jamaican. He's from
He's also Jamaican. But they speak English in Jamaica as well. So Norm's going to be good, man. Listen, Americans are going to accept Norm. That's
Norm Powell, Jim McCollum starting backcourt. How do you rate it?
Norm Powell and who?
CJ McCollum.
Oh, God. I mean... the Blazers might average like as a team like 5 assists per game if that's the backcourt. I mean they're not a high assist team enough? As it is, but like the amount of passing between Norm and CJ is going to be no higher than 5, maybe 6.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Yeah. All right, let's take more Twitter or YouTube questions. YouTube chat is very active. Shout out to people on YouTube, man. I feel like we never give these people enough love, so let's devote more time to them. We take Twitter questions all the time. Let's get another question from the chat. Would you become a Lakers fan if Lowry/DeRozan ends up with the Lakers? No.
Yeah, I'd be happy for them and would probably watch more games than... I mean, I watch a lot of Lakers games. They're always on every Saturday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't cheer. I wouldn't be,
I wouldn't be a Laker fan. I'm sorry, man. I'm a Raptor fan, period. That's just it. There's no other teams. I mean, at least in the NBA.
You can like guys, and we would like those guys.
Yeah, sure. But yeah.
Good. Like ask yourself, did you watch more Spurs games because Rudy and DeMar were there and Yak?
No. No. And that's, yeah. Listen, the loyalty stays inside the border when you can't take it with you.
So, yeah.
Someone asked, Bobby Joe asks, what do you think about trading Pascal in the fourth for the Rockets, second, and Christian Wood? I think I'm passing on that. Because
it's not a horrible, but like...
So you're to upgrade from 4 to 2, you're going from Pascal to Christian Wood. Which, I mean, Christian Wood had a really solid year. He could very well be a very good player. I mean, he could be. He is a very good player. He could very well do this consistently over time, but I don't know. His contract's smaller than Pascal's. That's actually kind of interesting. I think about that a little bit. Ultimately, I'm not confident enough in Christian Woods that I'm going to make this swap. But
Christian Woods like half the money, right? What does he make next year?
It's pretty cheap. I think he makes like 15, so it's even less than half. So it's a lot of cap room. Although I don't know what the Raptors would do specifically with this cap room, but obviously more cap room is good. Christian Wood makes 13. Wow, that is a good contract. 13 next year, 13.5, then 14.
That's not a bad idea. If I mean, so yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Christian Wood last year, 21 points, 9.6 rebounds, shot 37% from three on 5 threes per game, 51% from the field. That's not terrible, man. That's pretty good. And it's just, I don't see a lot of like long-term sustained success. So I do worry if it's a little bit of an outlier. Also, it was a team like Houston where they were awful. They had like a 20-game losing streak. I don't think teams took them that seriously. Like, for example, and just to like give you a comparison, right? So Christian Wood gave you 20 and 10 over the course of the season. I think Christian Wood's better than Kelly Olynyk, but Kelly Olynyk in 27 games with the Rockets averaged 19 points and 8.4 rebounds. Just yeah. to put that the production into a bit of context. Again, I'm not saying Christian Wood is better, or is worse than, or even just equal to Kelly Olynyk. I think he's a better player than Kelly. But when you get into certain situations, the context of your numbers can really fluctuate a little bit. That's all. So I'm not 100% confident in that. So I'd probably say no, but I also don't think the Rockets will want to do that trade, quite honestly. I think they're in a different phase of their team building, that they're not trading for an older player on more money right now.
Yeah. They're going to have so much fun with Jalen Green in Houston. It's going to be pretty sick.
Yeah. What else? Michael Kerr says, we have too many 6'9 prototypes at 3 and 9. What does that even mean? I'm not really sure.
6'9 prototypes.
I don't think you can have too many 6'9 players, quite honestly. I think
it worked pretty well for the mid-decade Warriors, just having a bunch of big guys who can dribble, pass, shoot.
Yeah, this is the league.
And it's more fun to watch.
Yeah. Although I do like really skilled post play. I just want a variety of things. I mean, when I come to the NBA, I don't want to see every single team run high pick and roll with their guards and take 43s. Like, I don't want every team to see that as the clear cut strategy. I want to see different strategies being used, because it's more interesting when you see different styles of basketball, right?
That's fair.
Like, I don't want it to become baseball where like everybody is just trying to like hit a home run, strike out, or get on base or walk. Like, it does make the game a little bit more. I don't know, like, it's common, ubiquitous, but now? Anyway, what else is in the chat here? Utah Untouchable. Yeah, I mean, of course. He's one of the six. But I'm protected. Listen, you can't make me protect 8 Raptors players. I honestly think that
I don't think the Raptors would want to protect 8 Raptors players.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Someone said, how the hell do you not know that the Raptors, Toronto came into the league at the same time as Vancouver? Come on, dude. Again, I was not in Canada. And also, I was like 3 years old. How the hell am I supposed to know this? But good for that. I don't know. I mean, Vancouver was pretty much out of Canada like by the time I got here. So that's tough. What else is in the chat? Okay. There's a lot going on, man. Scotty Barnes is going to be nice. What do you think about Scotty Barnes? Have you seen the videos and stuff?
Yeah, I do think he is going to be nice. And I think he's going to be the guy who maybe, you know, like snake bites the Raptors. And I'm willing to swing and miss on Mobley and think Suggs is a bit more of a sure bet. I think Barnes could, it could take a bit more time to figure it out. But yeah. I'll be happy for... I guess it'd be kind of sucky if he ended up in Orlando, where it seems like...
I know, that's not a great situation. I think he needs to definitely go to a team with a lot of shooting and a regular point guard beside him.
Yeah.
Because he's going to want to handle... It's almost like a Ben Simmons situation. You know? He's like not the same type of player. I mean, first off, Ben was way better in college. That's not even close. But, yeah. Scottie Barnes. I mean, yeah, I think the physicality is good. I think that the fact that he can guard almost every position is really good. Yeah. I think the fact that he can handle the ball at his size is really good. Shooting, I think, needs to really improve there. I don't really see him as like that skilled of an offensive player to the point where he's going to completely blow up. In terms of like as like a lead ball handler, have the ball all the time, shoot, create, you know, drive to the rim, score all the time, you know. But at the same time, he is very, very tantalizing. I think he has...
Are you willing to...
He looks the part.
...another player to this organization that can't do anything in the half in like half-court offense right now?
I mean, how much of the the Raptors' draft strategy has been a lot of these types of guys. So, like, they took OG, they took Pascal. I know that was different. The teams were different. They had Kyle and DeMar to be their main scorers. They had JV as well, so they can take more prospects who are less capable offensively and try to develop them. But I still think that this is a front office that definitely values size and length and athleticism, like every front office, but this one in particular.
I would love to, like, the thing, I would love just, you know, more fluid, fun-looking half-court offense.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I mean, look, listen, I like Suggs more than slightly more than I like Mobley, and I like both those guys more than Scottie Barnes.
And how do you feel about Kuminga?
The tape looks okay. Does he have a knee injury? I thought I saw a report that he has a knee injury. Not too worried about that, unless it's a really bad knee injury. But I don't know. He looks very skilled as well. Like, it's one of those things where you have to look at the tape because the stats are not going to look great. But he has quick twitch athleticism. Someone compared him to Pascal, which is another one of these lazy draft comps, which they're like, well, they're both African and they're roughly the same size. So he's Pascal Siakam, even though Kuminga's from Congo and Pascal's from Cameroon. It's not like he would just look at Serge and be like, yeah, that's Pascal Siakam. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here, man? So, but could I see him, best case scenario, turning out to be like a Jaylen Brown type of player, who a wing with the ability to handle and create, drive to the rim, draw some fouls, but also eventually develop his wing skill set to shoot from the perimeter? Yeah, I could see that. Like, Kuminga's, like, not necessarily that bad of a prospect. I know he just didn't have a great year at the G League, but I think the more videos I've watched on him, the more it's like, okay, I can see what they're saying. Like, for example, are you going to tell me that who's going to be more skilled as a player offensively between Kuminga and Scottie Barnes? I think probably more outcomes where Kuminga has more skills than Scottie Barnes offensively. Although, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm also not a draft expert.
Kuminga went to the same high school as Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Bembry.
Okay.
It's just, I like,
so,
Jamie
so
Foxx.
So he's from New York?
It's a very, it's like a legendary New York basketball high school. So,
I thought he started when he was 16 or something like that.
What were you doing when you were 16?
You're right. I don't want to say on air, but whatever 16 year olds
do. You were in high school.
I was in high school watching the Jermaine O'Neal, Chris Bosh, Andrea Bargnani at front court. Didn't work out that front court. Did not work out. Andre Bargnani at 7 feet was not good defensively. Man, this chat is wild. People are really...
Barnes over Kuminga?
I mean, look, I think Scottie Barnes has a much higher chance to succeed in the NBA. Like, I think his bust rate is a lot lower than someone like Kuminga, who probably...
For sure.
There's like maybe 50% of outcomes where he busts or something like that, but... I think the upside, especially offensively, the skill set. I think his skill set is already higher than what Scottie Barnes necessarily brings.
Yeah.
What else in the chat? Lou, bring back the unkempt flow chin strap circa 2017, bro. I don't even know what that means. When did I have
William,
that?
Come on. You?
I had a chin strap?
Yes.
No way. What do you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I probably did. I'm just trying to pretend like I didn't. That was back when I had to appear on videos and stuff. I was just a faceless podcaster back then.
Just you talking to Blake. That was a great show.
Which one?
You and Blake on Monday morning.
Oh yeah, the Raptors Weekly Extra. Yeah, no, yeah. I miss talking to Blake, man. I miss going to his apartment, sitting in his room and just talking to the same mic.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that's how you guys recorded that.
Yeah, no, that's how we got down, man. I would sit in Blake's, I would be looking at, I think sometimes I would literally be sitting on Blake's bed while he was sitting in his computer chair beside his bed. Listen, this is the life of most bloggers. It's not very sexy. I'm sorry, Blake, that I'm exposing you, but this is what happened, okay? Occasionally, we're looking over to a shoe rack. He got like a pair of KD 11s, size like 14, because Blake has huge feet despite not being that tall. So
he's not that short, though.
No, but he has like size like 14 feet for like a guy who's like 5'10.
He asked, "Will you miss me?" I don't know.
I don't know what that means. But
was it "Will you miss me" or is he going somewhere?
This is a very important question from Blake. I mean, look, Blake's a great dude, man. Of course I miss Blake. I miss working with Blake. That's my guy.
People
don't know about the 2014, 2015 year that we spent together, me and him at the Score. This Blake was such a legendary. So in terms of the draft, right, at the Score, this is what they did back in the day. Blake would head up the draft coverage for the team, and then he would come up with a spreadsheet. And the idea is we would pre-write these sort of things, right? So that on draft night, we plug in the name, we publish a story, and then we send an alert off that story. That's like a lot of what the Score does in terms of the news team.
Yeah.
Blake came up with this spreadsheet. It had 100 names, maybe got to 120 at one point, but 120 names on this Excel sheet with all the blurbs written in terms of this is the player that does this, you know, like here's his numbers or whatever. But he did all these draft profiles, and when the time of the draft came, that was the 2014-15 draft where the Raptors ended up with Bruno. Every single player in the NBA that was drafted, except for Bruno, was on Blake's list. So he had 59 of the 60 draft prospects already.
That's amazing.
Up. That's amazing. The amount of work that had to go into that, the amount of research. And I remember when the Bruno pick came up, he swore because he was like, he was on the next 10 guys I was going to write up. And I was like, bro, how are you telling me that you were going to write about Bruno playing in Brazil that literally NBA teams didn't even know about that you were going to write about? But in any case, yeah, that was, I miss working with Blake, man. That guy's amazing. He's like, it's very clear that he's number one on the Raptors beat. It's not even close. I don't want to ever hear Blake slander, except unless it's about his basketball game, which he's like if you combine PJ Tucker and Chuck Hayes. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're mostly through the chat. I mean, to be honest, like most of these comments are largely the same in terms of we're just talking about the draft. Yeah, this is probably the last show we do before the draft, to be honest. So the day of the draft, I'll be doing a reaction podcast, and obviously we'll be writing up the players. And then the day after, I think we're going to try to do a live show. So look for another one next week, but with calls. But for now, I think let's just get your prediction, Josh. What's happening draft night next Wednesday?
Let's go with my prediction. The Raptors take Jalen Suggs with the 4th overall pick. And that evening we see a plane emoji tweeted from Jared Allen's Twitter account. Does he even have Twitter?
I don't know, man.
That's my dream. That's my very realistic offseason. I don't think that John Collins leaves Atlanta. It seems like they're gonna. I think that Travis Schlenk knows that if the
what a name
Hawks backslide next season, his head's on the chopping block. They definitely they made the Eastern Conference Finals in the first trip to the playoffs. Mm. But if they like are a play-in team next year, because they decide to move on from John Collins and say that we'll build with a Herder, Hunter, the rest of their unsigned guys. But I kind of think that means that their hands forced and they have to keep Jared Allen, which means that if the Raptors are looking for a big, splashy center free agent, which is my second most desired outcome, it involves Jared Allen. That's what I think happens. I do think that the Raptors end the night with Jalen Suggs and build from there. How about you?
Yeah, that's my prediction. I think they take Suggs at four. I think that one thing with the draft is what I'm noticing with myself is that, like, you start to look past what the players are right now and just imagine them in sort of their current form. So you're almost always imagining guys who are, like, bigger, more athletic, longer, to just, like, magically fill in the rest of their skill set. And then you're like, well, that's going to be a better player than this guy who's, you know, better now. I think Jalen Suggs is a better player than a lot of these other guys now. To be honest, how good the player is right now really does matter to me. Like, for example, if you're looking at Suggs versus Scottie Barnes or Kuminga, I'm like, Suggs is just a better player than those guys right now. He has more skills in his skill set. He makes plays that look better than these guys as well. So that matters to me. But realistically, I think, look, the Raptors have shown a really good ability to draft. I think this is obviously the highest pick that this front office has to use. This is a great chance to draft someone really good. And honestly, whoever they end up taking, like, I really do trust that that's a player that is worthy of some patience, that's worthy of some consideration, and someone that the Raptors could probably mold into a very good player going forward. So I'm not saying that you're going to be happy. I'm happy with whoever. Like, if they took Kuminga at four and did nothing else, I'd be like, this is a bit odd. But otherwise, you know, I mean, if they took Suggs, I'd be happy. If they took Mobley, I'd be happy. If they, you know, traded down and took Scottie Barnes, I'd be like, okay, I'm not totally sure about this, but I wouldn't be super unhappy either.
Yeah, I guess, like, worst case scenario is whoever they pick, imagine it's, like, you know, Kuminga or Barnes, and there's no Masai Ujiri in the, like, picture.
That's right. That's also part of the ideal scenario is Masai says that I'm signing for life in the press conference.
Like, if he's shaking the hand of the young man the organization picks, then, you know, I'm okay with that. If Masai is shaking their hand, I'm happy. If he's not in the photograph and it's just, you know, Nick, I'm going to be, you know, pretty bummed out.
Yeah, I'm going to be sick, man. I'm happy for Nick, though. I mean, he needs more talent to go around with. You can't just come into the league. Well, you can come into the league, but you can't start your head coaching career with Kawhi, with Pascal, with Kyle, with Danny, with Serge, with JV. Eventually, get Mark, and then 3 years later, you're just coaching like a whole bunch of like 18-year-olds. Like, that's tough.
Do you remember when they had Yuta Watanabe, Stanley Johnson, Paul Watson Jr.?
Oh man, come on, man.
It was just like a crazy 4 minutes of basketball. It's like, this is it's not like guys weren't available at night. It was just like, we're going to end the second quarter with this lineup. And I thought,
yikes. Yeah, I know. I know. It's really upsetting. I mean, look, listen, these guys are all nice guys, but I just think that, like, you need some offensive talent in here. Like, I value that more than even a guy like Mobley, who I think will be, it's clearly the best offensive player in this draft, but give me some offensive talent, please. You know what I mean? Like, just scoring is very important in basketball. And the Raptors have lacked scoring the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And so if it sucks, I'll be pretty happy. That's part of why I want Suggs. So before we go, do you want to do any Stanley suggestions?
Get a vaccine if you haven't already. Write your counselors if you're worried about the way that our homeless citizens of Toronto are being treated. Call your mom, do some yard work. I'm trying to think if I've done something. I don't know if we've recommended this, but if you can sign up for recreational athletics, it's been so much fun. Like, I know Will and I talk about how our team is very solidly 500. Mm. We beat the teams we're supposed to beat. We can't beat the teams we can't beat. But it's been so much fun. Like, I've really enjoyed being able to get and play soccer with you and our pals. And if the rest of you are, you know, everyone's been inside for a year and a half, do something to run around, play a sport. You don't have to be good. You just have to be doing it. And that's probably my recommendation.
It's been amazing. So my recommendation, my second suggestion is really for just people online, I guess. Like, just, you gotta log off once in a while.
Facts.
Okay, so you have to explain this to me, Josh, but what the hell was happening yesterday? Why do every single time I log on to Twitter, I see at the top of the Twitter bar some people and there's a Twitter space going on and something is happening. There's some sort of like weird beef or like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Like, what happened last night?
So
can you explain this?
The beef stuff I don't get, but
why are we beefing? Like, there's nothing even going on.
Sandy, Kate, you know, people. Well, there's some vague beef that I don't understand and don't know.
I thought you were in the thing.
So I'm sort of I was in the room, but we weren't talking about beef. It was just sort of talking about the way it was like a continuation of the Stephen A. Smith, Shohei Ohtani, and then Emmanuel Acho, Giannis, face of the league stuff. And that was a pretty productive conversation. But I also see that there are these, like, I don't know, this chronic, like, logged on stuff that I'm not sure how useful it is, but yeah, I do think that it's important to take a step away. You know, it's really fun to be close up to the sport and the way it's covered and the people who cover it. But you know, at the end of the day, like, your real life is with the people you know. And if it's making you like stay up past your bedtime and go to bed angry, it's probably not a great way to spend your time. But
look, I'm, like, not too old to beef online, but, like, online beef is kind of a waste of time. I think people are just trying to get their jokes off and move on, for the most part.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's problematic, and, you know, that's totally, like, normal to call people out for stuff like that. But, yeah. Well, and this is not me trying to comment on anything, like, slyly. I literally don't know what's going on, because I'm not logged in that much. But, yeah, go outside. What's the phrase? Touch grass? Go outside and touch some grass. If you got allergies, take some Claritin and then touch that grass. But make sure you touch the grass. So, yeah. That's my silent suggestion, guys. Go outside. The weather is beautiful. Go outside and play some basketball. It's
finally.
Yeah. Catch me outside playing basketball. Mostly just shooting free throws by myself. So, yeah.
Also, the Lil Nas X video is, like, incredible. That guy is on an incredible pace. He's a genius.
Yeah,
we gotta figure out how to market ourselves half as well as him.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for sending in questions on the YouTube chat and on Twitter. Like I said, we'll be back next week after the draft, probably the day after the draft, to take calls, get some reactions, get some excitement, get some I don't know, just comments from fans. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for watching, following on live, for listening to after the fact, Josh. Appreciate you, and
I'll see you soon.
Enjoy everyone's weekend, and again, touch some grass. touch some grass, okay? All right, see you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.